And here I am with women that have heart and soul.
Good morning.
Martell and Melissa Aronson here with the Gardening Talk.
We're here to talk about gardens again.
We are. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I guess the first thing that we want to say again is KHNS Garden at KHNS.org. Send your questions in. Send your comments in. And remember, you can go back and listen to these garden segments by going to KHNS.org and going to, you do, Melissa?
You go to the Gardener Conversation portion of the website, and you can listen to it again, and that's great.
Some that
of
is us great.
Were yeah. busy with a fair last week and had to listen later on.
Yeah, and I think that question came up, where if it was going to be archived, and I don't know how long they're going to be available, but... certainly for a while.
And we're working on possibly doing a longer-term archive, but we don't know yet. We're working on it. We'll see.
This is week three, so depends on how it goes.
Yeah. So we wanted to, again, say that the library is still seeking gardeners to do a tiny little plot, folks. This is not a major time commitment. This is about a two-foot-wide plot that the library is asking for help with. Now, you can sign up for more than one if 2 feet is too easy for you. But go to the library desk. They've got a map. They've got a sign-up sheet. We need to have some community help in order to make our garden stay looking beautiful in front of the library. So,
okay. So the first question we wanted to deal with today, one of our listeners wrote in, usually I get a good crop of carrots. This year I've planted twice and not getting much germination at all. What's going on?
Okay, carrots are particularly difficult in germination, I think, is my experience. They're one of the hardest ones to germinate. One, because they take a long time, and they tend to germinate a little bit more unevenly than others. But some basic things on seed germination is your seeds need to be healthy, you got to have the right temperature, too cold a ground, most seeds will not germinate, and there needs to be adequate oxygen and moisture. And from the group of us that kind of answer these questions, we agreed that probably the biggest problem with carrot germination this year was it was dry in the spring. And so it was most likely that that bed dried out. And if the little primary root emerges out of the carrot seed and it hits dry soil, it dies. And you've lost that carrot.
One of our team members makes a practice of covering the carrot seeds with a little bit of vermiculite that's wet and then puts Remay or row cover over the top to hold the moisture in. And finds that that works pretty well.
Sometimes I've actually even used plastic and put it over it just to hold the moisture in. My experience is it takes about 10 days for carrots to germinate and come up. And so rather than going out there and watering a couple times a day, I find if I put a piece of plastic on, I don't have to think about it quite as much.
Yeah, so. I grow mine in a raised bed, and I just staple Remay over the top.
And that helps hold the moisture in.
Holds the moisture in, so. Keeps it a little bit warmer, too.
Okay. So another question that we got in, this is kind of a long question. I'm going to read it because I think that there's a lot of valuable information in it. She's doing a good job of greenhouse stuff, I think. The vegetable plants in my greenhouse are loaded, but taking a really long time to ripen. Gets hot in there, but I usually can keep it around 80 degrees during the day with bouts to around 90 to 100 during this hot weather we've been having. At night, it probably gets to 60 or a little less. The heater is on at night. Lots of ventilation, 1 to 2 large fans most of the time, open window, 30 times open window, and a front screen door open during the day. The plants look great. Great growth, no mildew. I've started using more bloom fertilizer every week or two. I wonder why, if they are slow to ripen because there is such a wide variety in temperatures, something that I don't know how to even out any more than I'm currently doing. Any suggestions?
So, a very open-ended question. One of the things that would be helpful for us to know is what types of plants, what types of vegetables are not ripening. If it's tomatoes, I think it's really important to pay attention to what varieties you are using. I have a north-facing greenhouse. The only thing I've ever had success with have been the small cherry, pear, grape tomatoes. The only medium size I've been able to grow have been the taxi, which are kind of a medium yellow. So one of the things to pay attention to is variety. And on the packages, when you get ready to plant the seeds, to look at the days to germination and the days to ripening that's on the package, days to maturity, because you want to keep those to short time frames.
Very short.
Yeah, and it's also really important to start everything early. Typically, I've started plants for my greenhouse around March 15th, but the last couple of years I've noticed that I'm starting them a couple of weeks earlier because our weather's been warming up that significantly.
Yeah, and tomatoes just take a long time here. And so I find that if you don't start them in March, you may, on some years, you may not get tomatoes. And variety is very key, like Melissa said. And being we're talking about varieties, she shared which ones she's found that work for her. I'll tell you the ones that have worked for me are Bush Steak out of Burpee and Mighty Sweet is my favorite cherry tomato. Mm. And I would guess that every gardener you talk to in Haines, probably who grows tomatoes, have their favorite. So ask other gardeners in your neighborhood what ones work.
Yeah, and another thing I have found is that when we get towards the end of the season, which is coming up frighteningly quickly, I pick all of the green tomatoes, lay them out in a cardboard box, single depth, and put them in an unheated garage, and they will mature over the winter, and I've eaten tomatoes as late as February. Mm-hmm. And I also have heard from local gardeners that they take plants inside, either in the pots or sometimes hang them upside down and continue to get tomatoes through the winter. So,
yeah, I do that. Actually, I cut my plant off and bring the whole plant mm-hmm. in, mm-hmm. no roots or anything.
And hang it upside down?
I don't hang it upside down. Mm. I just lay it up in the attic, and mm-hmm. they ripen mm-hmm. little by little.
The yeah. key to that is to make sure you don't push the envelope too much and get the least little bit of frost in them. I did that one time, and I had a whole room full of rotten tomatoes because they had gotten just slightly they didn't show that they had been frosted, but a little too cold.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the next question. I have a potted tomato plant in my house. I'm noticing little white gnats in the soil. What are these, and are they harmful to the plant? What can I do about them?
Okay, we are guessing that the answer to this is fungus gnats, because fungus gnats is what are in household plants particularly. They will be outside too. They need moist soil. But many of us have experienced fungus gnats in just house plants. It doesn't have to be a tomato plant. It can be anything that has moist soil in it. I have been having problems with that this year, too, for the first time in many, many years. And I did a little bit of research, and I learned that I always thought that they were kind of innocuous, that they were just a nuisance to have flying around, and that's mostly the case. But if the infestation gets bad enough, the larvae of these tiny little gnat flies will actually eat the roots of your plant. And like anything, if the plant is weak or if it's small, it's going to be impacted. So you don't want a fungus gnat infestation to get too out of hand. Use sticky traps to catch the little flies. Or what I did was I put little containers of apple cider vinegar, and you said, Melissa, red wine vinegar?
I use red wine vinegar or sometimes even just red wine, and that will attract the flies. And then instead of – a confession here. And instead of sticky traps being a cheapskate, I will just take either a white or yellow 3x5 card, punch a hole in it, tie a string on it, cover it with Vaseline, and hang it around the plants.
I like that idea. I've never done that. That makes sense, though.
And some flies are attracted to the white and some to the yellow.
To the yellow. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So experiment with that. It's cheaper than sticky traps. Mm-hmm. The other thing I have found with the fungus gnats is to stay away from mushroom compost and stay away from putting mushrooms in your compost that is any compost that you might use on a house plant. If it's going to be out in the your raised bed, it won't matter. But if you're going to use it in the house, sometimes you'll end up with those fungus gnats. And the larvae is a nice word for maggot.
Well, and really the thing about fungus gnats are they will only survive if the soil is moist. They'll only thrive if the soil is moist. So if you can afford to let your plant dry out, you're going to really cut down your fungus gnats. And that's one of the treatments that they say. But if you kill your tomato plant as a result of letting it dry out, you're kind of defeating your purpose. So so you gotta weigh the balances there. So, and when you do the vinegar or the wine or the red wine or whatever, if you put a drop of dish soap in, it's going to make it so that when the flies get in there, they are more likely to drown. And everything that I read said put a little little drop of dish soap in. So. Okay, enough on that one. Okay, sure. Let's read the next one. Hi, gardeners. My rhubarb, now 3 years old, has spindly stalks. I've fertilized it recently, water regularly, and it has plenty of sun. Why are my stalks not fatter?
So we have a concept here that rhubarb is very easy to grow and requires nothing of us. But as we've talked about this as a team, we all have different ideas about this. and for our Skagway listeners, we know, we hear that you have some giant rhubarb plants there that are very, very old. And so we would love to hear what you're doing with those there. But in terms of this particular rhubarb plant, it takes a while for them to get healthy enough to begin to harvest, and 3 years may not be enough, so just be patient with that. It's important to remember that the leaves are basically the power factories for the plant, and so if you are harvesting too much, you're taking away too much of the power generation for the plant, and it will tend to weaken it, so it's better to leave them.
Well, and
there.
They say even the first year, don't harvest anything the first year or two, even if you are struggling, if your plant's struggling.
Right, yeah, anytime a plant is struggling, just let it build up its energy, I think. Mardell and I have had very different experiences with our rhubarb and where we have it planted and the success rates. I have mine does really well, and it's been in the ground in the same spot for probably 15 years. But as we got thinking about this question, I realized my raspberries are all around the edge of a leach line for a septic system. So that may be doing the moisture and the nutrients for that.
That is one of the things in the research that I did on rhubarb. One of the consistent things that they said was that rhubarb needs moisture. And an answer to this question might be that the last two springs, we've had quite a bit of dry weather in the spring. And so if this person has not put in extra moisture on this rhubarb, there could be a chance that the plant is really struggling. And my theory is that rhubarb puts a lot of its energy and growth in the spring. It's one of the first things out of the ground. So if the plant is struggling in the spring, it's probably not going to be able to really thrive until you give it good moisture and maybe additional nutrition for those first few years. So I do think patience is really necessary.
The other thing, make sure you cut the seed stalks off when they start to emerge in the middle of the plant. And they'll tend to do that early in the season. And a plant's goal is to set seeds. And if it sets its seeds, then the rest of the plant will kind of die down. So cut those seed stalks off so the plant will continue to make the leaves that you want. But also remember that the leaves are poisonous. Mm-hmm. Do not eat them. Do not feed them to, you know, goats, pigs, whoever.
Can you put them in your compost?
I do.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Yeah, because they're a bit of a biocide, and I'm always a little bit concerned that they're going to kill the beneficials in my compost bin. Mm-hmm. So I don't put them in there. I put them over where I have things that I don't want to have grow.
Right. I have my piles of that, too. Yeah. So.
Huh. Well. So. Another day, another successful day of Garden Talk. I love it.
So keep sending those questions in, folks. We need questions and also comments. We're going to comment a little bit on the root maggot. Maybe we'll do that on another one. We got some responses back to our comments or our talk on root maggots. So communicate with us.
All right.
Please do, yes.
Thank you so much. Always interesting. I'm always listening and thinking about my own issues, but it's always good.
Okay, thanks,
Joan.
All right,
thank you so much. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.